Controversy and discourse, right or wrong, even surrounding an innocuous song? Sing it loud, don't run and hide, because it really is cold outside. Howdy. Welcome to Spectrum West, where arts and culture are stirred into nice warm water topped with cinnamon, and voila, that favorite holiday drink, Al and Jimmy. I'm Al, he's Jimmy. I never thought of Jim Oliver as Jimmy, more of a James, if anything, but this time of year, I guess anything goes. This week on the show, Chris Cruzy is a finalist on The Voice, and the barren Wisconsin native spends some phone time to talk about where he comes from, and it looks like where he's going is pretty dang exciting. Jim Oliver brings back the Loony Lutherans because they're back in the area. This time in Chippewa Falls, he runs down other regional stage productions as well. There's a new film festival on the horizon, the Red Cedar Film Festival, coming next July. Our guests from UW Stout will provide elements we should know. And here's our jumping-off point for this mid-December huddle. It's called Going Coastal. It's, as they say, the radio variety show that's not on the radio, but that doesn't stop them from entertaining packed houses at the Wide Spot in Stockholm, Wisconsin, where they'll be this Saturday and Sunday evening. The cast is familiar to audiences, the special guests special and appreciated, and one guy who directs and coordinates things is Mike Sly, a veteran of writing for live performance. He and I spoke recently. So you're in the sixth year here. You do three shows a year. 6 years ago, what, some folks just got together and wanted to have some fun?
Kind of. There was a gal named Kelly Tatum who was here, and she had this myth about us having a radio station in Stockholm, and it would be launched by starting the show, and it led to that show. She left before the first show was on, and I happened to have signed on as a host, but I also then, to save the show, decided to produce it, too. And so we took it from there and created this little show. And I've had the same cast for a long time. We've got a kind of a routine set up. You know, in this show, we have a little song. I've written songs for the show and a little dance, a little seltzer down our pants, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, wow, there you go.
So it's a variety show, and it has a good bunch of people that work with me on it.
I was reading everybody involved is a volunteer. I'm guessing that you do pay the special guests who show up.
That's about it.
For each show. But I mean, if everybody is a volunteer, this kind of essentially makes it a fundraiser for the Wide Spot.
Exactly what it is. And instead of donating money, we donate our time and our talents to put that show together. And it's rewarding to us, too, because it's neat to fill the studio all the time. You know, when we first started out getting guests to come, it was like, well, where is Stockholm again? And what is Wide Spot again? You know, you had to sell the location. But right now, there's enough intermingling amongst bands that they give good word of mouth. It's a good sound system. They have an attentive audience as opposed to working in a bar somewhere where you don't know if anybody's listening or not.
Sure.
It's got a life of its own now, and that's pretty rewarding, you know, to have the place full.
I'm certain, Mike, that you'd like to recognize some cast members, so go ahead and do that.
Well, our cast members are mostly from this area, but they've got all experience elsewhere. I mean, Michelle Meyer is an accomplished actress and a director in the Red Wing area. With her is Helen Olson Reed, who is also involved heavily in the Sheldon, but she comes over, you know, once a show to help us out here and plays some of the characters. We have recurring characters that are in the show. So Patty is played by Michelle, and Helen Olson Reed will play various other characters, and Steve Anderson is in it. He, well, he's a retired firefighter, and he's a local fireman now, but he's got a background in improv, and his daughter is Lauren Anderson, who's from the Brave New Workshop, and he works there with her once in a while. These are talented people who happen to be local people.
Sure.
John Demma, he recorded Sounds for the Blind, those audio tapes and stuff. And Gib Cohn, he loves sound effects. He lives for sound effects. And so he can come up with a sound for anything. And like I mentioned, every one of those people has been with us from the start, which makes it easy chemistry for us to put the show together.
Yeah, no kidding. Because of the timing, this show has a holiday theme to it?
Well, yeah, we've done the show in the past in January, and it would be maybe a post-holiday reference to what was done at Christmas. But this is a chance for us to do Well, our sketches, for example, involve Patty having a bad dream from eating too many Hot Pockets and milk at the end of a working day. She's the postmistress and obviously under stress with all those packages. Mm. And she has a dream that's very similar to what Scrooge has, if you know what I mean. So there's a theme there with that. And Torgersons are a Swedish couple who live up the road. They're preparing for the Christmas bazaar.
It sounds like you guys have a lot of fun. On the phone with Mike Sly, we're talking about Going Coastal, the variety show, the radio show that's not on the radio, as they like to say. It's coming up at the Wide Spot Performing Arts Center. That is in beautiful Stockholm, Wisconsin. And it is Saturday and Sunday. Both shows are at 7 p.m. You know, and you guys meaning everybody in the Stockholm area, and western Wisconsin, for that matter. I mean, we have lots of them. A lot of small towns have wonderful places. And you, as we alluded earlier, have the Wide Spot. And that place is so much a community effort. I mean, everybody feels ownership and responsibility and pride in its existence and its success. It really is a focal point of a very small but a very vibrant community.
Well, as I say in the show, it's from the tallest building in the heart of glamorous downtown Stockholm. We're coming to you from the Wide Spot.
I still have yet to be in the Wide Spot.
Well, that's an experience worth having. I mean, you walk up 21 stairs, and then you walk through time, because once you open that swinging door, there's a floor that's painted with the basketball circles because it had doubled as a gymnasium at one time. Mm. I mean, there's just an atmosphere there, and it's intimate. It's kind of good that we have that small space, because if we had 150 people come into a 400-seat auditorium, that's a little different. Yeah. But it's cool. A very small town, a real active town art-wise, you know. And this show, you know, was drawing people from Winona and Red Wing and Hudson. A lot of locals, mind you, a lot of locals. But it's, let's face it, there's 66 people living there, but we have 120 capacity, and we fill it. So they're from everywhere. Oh. And White Spot's got that kind of a reputation now, mm-hmm. and the show has.
Yeah, you double the population. Good for you.
You do that in Minneapolis, yes. You know, it's a couple million people. So proportionate-wise, we do pretty well.
We here at Wisconsin Public Radio have the pleasure of letting people know many of the events that are coming to the Wide Spot. I noticed in the last paragraph of the news release, some of the upcoming performances are listed, and we'll make sure that people know about those. Mike Sly, hey, have fun on Saturday and Sunday at the Wide Spot. It's called Going Coastal Variety Show. It's a ton of fun. I thank you for being with us on WPR.
Well, thank you, Al.
TheWideSpot.org is the website. Congratulations to all who not only donate their time, but also talent to help maintain their beloved entertainment venue. The Chris Cruzy sensation coming up, and Looney Lutherans are back for more. Right now, here's some big news for you. Western Wisconsin will soon be home to another film festival, a partnership between civic community, arts community, and university. The first Red Cedar Film Festival will happen in Menominee in late July. Organizers are making plans and presentations to garner support from the dozens, if not hundreds, of people it'll take to pull it off in style. Peter Galante is a professor of photo, video, and communication technologies and head of the new video production undergraduate program at UW-Stout. It's his creation, and to help with logistics, he welcomes Anna McCabe, who directs professional education programs and services at Stout. I spoke with both earlier this week. Tell me about how long this has been simmering up to this point.
Well, I started talking about it around 2015. I've been a filmmaker pretty much my whole life. Mm-hmm. I've been to a lot of film festivals, and I've seen what they can do to the local economies. You know, we're making film here. Why aren't we doing something similar? Because we have such incredible facilities. A lot of cities just don't have the venues that we have, like Mabel Tainter, like Harvey Hall here at the university. Literally, if you go to the Beloit Film Festival, they're doing it in cafes and, you know, restaurants and things like that. I just thought we were ripe to do this, to handle it.
So, Anna, when did you jump into the fray?
Well, I sat in on one of Peter's presentations. I think it was maybe October of 2016, and he just was talking about how Menominee is the perfect location for a film festival. Mm-hmm. That I just thought it was the coolest thing. It wasn't until September 2017 that Peter and I were in kind of an engagement session at the university here. that starts every year before the school year. A bunch of, you know, faculty and staff were just talking about different things before the school year started. I told Peter that I had been in that session a year prior and that my office here, Professional Education Programs and Services, would be the perfect partner to put on the film festival. Since then, Peter and I have been trying to make this happen.
Be careful what you wish for. These things are a lot of work, I know. So is this a UW Stout venture that just happens to include places like the Mabel Tainter, or are you managing partners in that event, or what's going on there?
Wow, that's a complex question. So we originally thought of this as an independent community event.
Okay.
So we have a domain that we got, you know, redcedarfilm.org, because we thought we were going to have to be a standalone foundation. Mm-hmm. But in talking with the chancellor, he really likes the idea. So he really sees it as a Stout event that we would house then probably in the university foundation. And then in talking with Mabel Tainter, the board there, they're totally on board. So they've become sort of a co-sponsor. If we didn't have a venue like Mabel Tainter, it would be just a total uphill, you know, climb here.
The theme is expanding the art of film. Just the word expanding is a phenomenon in itself. The art of film has exploded in the last maybe 10 to 20 years. The independent factor is there. Film festivals are where those independent films see the light of day. And really, it is the independent films that are being noted for what? The most creative stuff that's coming out.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. What happened, technology sort of leveled the playing field. An average person pretty much has the same access to technology as the biggest Hollywood studio. So all of a sudden, it's not a big leap for a small production to do really high-quality work.
When one thinks film festival, of course, one immediately thinks of the granddad and the one that everyone says, wow, you made it to Sundance. And that's been going on for 40 years now. The Sundance Film Festival, of course, started by Robert Redford. Park City, Utah, you noted, Menominee is actually twice the population of Park City, Utah. And they host thousands and thousands of people, and they bring in millions and millions of dollars. But you are realistic, and you, at the beginning, are saying a slogan that goes like this: start small, think big.
Absolutely. I mean, when Sundance started, nobody heard of it. It's taken a long time for them to get to where they are right now. If we don't start, we'll never get there. But I think we're ripe for it. I mean, this is a good place for it.
Let's just talk about your roles so that we get that clear in our minds. You guys are co-directors, so have you split responsibilities? Are you sharing them? How's that working out?
Well, for my purpose, I'm on the creative side.
Okay.
I'm going to be responsible for bringing the jury in, selecting the films. But then Anna, and I should probably let Anna speak.
Yeah, you could say that yourself.
But I would think Peter's more of the executive director. It was his vision. This has been kind of his brainchild. So I'm just really ecstatic that we're able to put on this event, you know, through our office and plan all the logistics and make it happen.
Yep. That's the voice of Anna McCabe. She is with UW Stout Professional Education Programs and Services. Also on the phone with us is Peter Galante, also a UW Stout guy. He's professor, program director, photo and video communications technologies. And also you coordinate the video production undergraduate program, which is new there.
That's correct. We've just got approved by the Board of Regents to start a video production major, which will begin in fall 2019.
Okay. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
At the time we're speaking, you have a presentation coming up before the Dunn County Economic Development Commission, and when this airs, it will have already happened. The concept of arts-based community development is benefiting in spades cities like Eau Claire right now, same with some other communities. They've noticed that the two can walk hand in hand very, very nicely. So from preliminary barometers that you've looked at and those with whom you've spoken, how warm are the waters that you've already tested? I mean, you're going to do it, but is it an easy process getting people to become believers?
I think so. I think we've been getting very good responses from everybody we spoke to. Just the other day, I think Anna mentioned that you know, one of the hotel chains out of the blue contacted her and said, hey, we want to be a sponsor. So
sure, yeah.
I think this is an easy sell because it's not like we have a lot of investment that we need to do up front.
It's really exciting to have the community so supportive. I mean, talking with the Chamber and talking with Menominee Downtown, they've been just very excited that this is coming to Menominee.
And your goal, Peter, I saw, is to be self-supporting by the third year. That seems very doable.
I think so, because our expenses are not unreasonably large. I think it's very doable, I believe.
Earlier I said to Anna, be careful what you wish for. But yes, people are coming out of the woodwork and saying, we'd love to be involved, but mm-hmm. almost more so than or equal to financial investment is the investment of human time, human
Absolutely.
Hours.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, and we're definitely seeking volunteers. I believe that we'll have no problem getting volunteers for this event. It's exciting. It's a really cool event, and people want to be a part of it.
So now, as I said, and we've been talking about it for the last couple of minutes, you are looking for investment, government investment, private investment, sponsorships. Let's talk about those first, and then let's segue to how regular folks can get involved, as Anna was just saying, you need the volunteers. So let's say a business hears this, and they say, wow, I didn't know that. My business is in Menominee. I want to get involved. How do they do that?
Well, they can go to our website. We do have a page on the UW Stout website, so
okay.
the Red Cedar Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
But also the redcedarfilm.org has all of the information listed there as well. There are links to become a sponsor. We have sponsor packet information that's actually being designed right now with the University Marketing Office. But people can absolutely get a hold of me. My email address is mccabea@uwstout.edu. You know, make sure they get all the information about us and partnering with us so we can get their logos on all of our materials.
Up to this point, I should have way earlier than this let people know that the Red Cedar Film Festival will be held Wednesday through Sunday, July 24th through July 28th. Peter, from your perspective and through your experience, people who are looking to enter something in a film festival and film festival groupies, what do people look for in a film festival more than anything else?
I think people really want to meet other people, contacts. It's really great for festival attendees to get a chance to meet and talk to the people who made the film. That's a real positive. And then other filmmakers network with each other.
Well, you know, to conclude this conversation, I was about to say good luck to you guys, but it sounds like you have a lot of bases covered. You don't really need good luck.
Well, thank you. We'll take luck anyway.
Yeah, we will still appreciate that.
Thanks for talking with us. Break a leg, as they say, in all that entertainment biz. I think we're all looking forward to this. It's going to be fun.
It will be. Thank you.
You know, with venues like the historic duo of the Mabel Tainter and Harvey Hall Theater, the Red Cedar Film Festival is bound to make waves, and the ripples have begun. The music of An Amazing Road, Chris Cruzy's on, yet to come on Spectrum West. Support for WPR comes from the Minnesota Marine Art Museum in Winona with Annie Haney Waterlines, featuring textured abstract paintings by the Minnesota-born visual artist. On view now. More at mmam.org. Support also comes from Marquardt Toyota, dedicated to providing an enjoyable and stress-free buying process with welcoming facilities located off Highway 53 between Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, or at marquardttoyota.com. Well, we had a brief encounter back in September. Now Jim Oliver takes over and completes the introduction. It's all yours, my friend.
Thank you, sir. The Looney Lutherans, performers of family-friendly skits and songs, will return to Western Wisconsin Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon in the Heide Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls. Joining us by telephone to talk about the Looney Lutherans and their upcoming performances, one of the founding members, Dorian Chalmers.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, thanks a lot for coming on and putting up with my fooling around here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Okay. I have first question. First question I have. Are you all Lutherans?
Oh, yes, in some sort of format. Bella, she actually is Italian by birth, but Lutheran by marriage.
Uh-huh.
And she went to St. Olaf. Yes.
Okay. Well, if she went to St. Olaf, she's certainly Lutheran for sure. I used to get into trouble. I grew up on a farm in East Central Minnesota and went to a rural school, and there was one Methodist family, that was me, and one Catholic family, that was a good friend of mine. Everybody else was Lutheran. So I've always said since then, and you know, most of my best friends are Lutherans because that's all I got to know were Lutheran kids.
Yeah, my husband grew up in Wilmer, and there was about 30 Lutheran churches and only one Catholic church.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are in the land of Lutherans here.
So anyway, as life went on, I used to make fun of the Lutherans because I figured, you know, they didn't care, and they actually they didn't for the most part, because they figured, well, he's just goofy Methodist who doesn't know any better. But every now and then I'd offend somebody, and I'd have to apologize. And so the thought entered my mind, even though you folks are based in Minnesota, the moniker of Loony Lutherans could be insulting to some people. Does that ever happen to you?
I don't think so, especially if they see the show. I mean, we are not poking fun at them. We are poking fun with them, doing things that are about our culture, especially if you grew up in this Northland, with things about the food and things that we do. It's not necessarily about religion per se. It's more about the environment that we grow up in up here in the Northland.
According to your webpage, the idea for the Loony Lutherans materialized in 2006 when the founding members were appearing in the cast of the musical Church Basement Ladies. What inspired you to do that, other than it just seemed like a fun thing to do?
Well, actually, it was a situation where Greta Grosch, who is the owner of this organization, came into the dressing room when we were doing a performance of Church Basement Ladies and said to Robbie and I, you know, I have to go down and do this performance at a senior wellness expo in Mankato, and I don't want to go by myself. So you want to put together a little show? This was supposed to be a one-time thing that we just were going to go down and do this, and it just grew out of that. I think we've probably been to Mankato about 8 times now. So it just sort of grew out of a situation that was just meant to be a one-time deal.
You've obviously added members. Are the founding members still active?
Yes, they absolutely are. And the three of us that are founding members are still members of the Church Basement Ladies cast also. So we are currently doing our newest Church Basement Ladies show called You Smell Barn. It's number 7 in the Church Basement Ladies series. Yes, we'll be there till February 14th.
My gosh. There's something also on the webpage about a fictional publication that provides the basis for the evening's entertainment. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So the original show of the Loony Lutherans is based off the concept that we're on a cookbook tour. Our cookbook's called Use Your Food, A Guide to Healthy Living Inside and Out, From Our Kitchen to Yours, Eat Like a Lutheran. So for this Christmas show, what we have done is come up with tips for surviving the holidays the Lutheran way. So the food preparation piece of the holidays for all of us Loony Lutherans, exercise tips that are specific to the holidays. So we've just taken some of our ideas from our cookbook and expanded them into things that relate to what's happening during the holidays for folks. So this show is called Hold the Lutefisk, It's Beginning to Smell a Lot Like Christmas.
We're talking to Dorian Chalmers, who is one of the Loony Lutherans who will be appearing this weekend at the Heide Center. Well, you brought up Lutefisk. I can't pass that up because...
Well, you know, you can't be a Loony Lutheran and not talk about Lutefisk.
Well, for sure. And once upon a time, years and years ago, a Lutheran pastor friend of mine invited me to Lutefisk supper. I remember we got there. We were in the third sitting. The place was just jammed. One of the local theater managers, they were doing Church Basement Ladies. And I said, well, what a wonderful marketing opportunity. At your dinner theater, you can serve Lutefisk, and I bet you'll draw a big crowd. And he just said, forget it, and that was the end of the discussion. So,
well, he probably just didn't want the smell that would have emanated through the theater for the rest of the show.
Well, you know, that one particular event, which is the first and last one I ever went to, you know, I really didn't notice the smell. And everybody tells me the smell, but I, you know.
Yeah, I think you'll get that more if you boil your lutefisk than if you bake it.
Ah.
Yeah.
Going down the list of places you have performed, and it's you go anywhere from theaters to banquet rooms to almost any place. How do you stage your performances?
We're very portable. We have what we call our suitcase of comedy. Mm-hmm. It weighs 42 pounds. We can pretty much set up anywhere. And if we're in a theater and they've got some benches around or tables, we just add them to our set. But if we don't have that, we can just be ourselves. As long as we have one single table, that's about all we need. We've been to 10 states, and we've done everything from fairs to festivals to church functions. So it's really fun for us to be able to go out and come to people, get to experience what their life is like in their communities.
Now, you do skits and songs and all that kind of stuff, and you get the audience involved. How do you do that?
Absolutely, and that's half of the fun. If the show doesn't go well, it's not our fault, it's theirs.
Okay. Talk about passing the buck. Getting back to where you're staging, I kind of wondered about that because, sometimes if you're in kind of a casual place, people forget themselves. Once upon a time, years and years ago, I was in a production of Last of the Red Hot Lovers, and we did a special show for a group of women who were at we called a hair show. They were, they were hustling cosmetic items. So we were set up to run the play in the middle of a country club, and the women sat all the way around us. And so we were about halfway through the show, and one of the women got up and walked through the set and went to the ladies' room. And and later on she came back. It's not like she was walking out or anything. So I was just wondering if you ever had an experience like that. Of course, if you're trying to get audience participation, I suppose you would welcome something like that.
Yeah, we welcome those kind of situations because, something new and fun is going to happen out of that situation. So, yeah, we are lucky in that respect, is that we already are breaking the fourth wall with people. So we love it if they can have something silly and crazy happen. We've been doing theater for a long time, so, of course, we have lots of crazy, silly stories about things that have happened on stage.
Oh, sure. And stuff does happen.
It sure does.
Well, she is Dorian Chalmers, one of the founding members of the Looney Lutherans. The group will be performing Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon at the Heide Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls. For ticket information, you can Google the Heide Center, or you can use the telephone, 715-726-9000. Dorian, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, and we look forward to seeing you in Chippewa Falls.
Ah, yes, Jim Oliver, week in and week out, providing illuminating conversations and delivering a look at what's on stage up, down, and across Western Wisconsin.
The University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire Theater will present She Kills Monsters through Sunday at the Pablo Center in the Confluence in Eau Claire. The Best Christmas Pageant Ever will be staged Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the Old Gem Theater in New Richmond. It will be presented for group audiences weekdays through December 21st. Miracle on 34th Street, a production of the Festival Theater of St. Croix Falls, will play through December 24th at the Franklin Square Black Box Theater. Sorry Wrong Chimney will be staged Fridays and Saturdays, continuing through January 5th at the St. Croix Off-Broadway Dinner Theater in Hudson. A Little House Christmas will be staged by the Eau Claire Children's Theater Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the Oxford Theater. The Northern Star Theater, Rice Lake, will present A Charlie Brown Christmas through Sunday. The Chippewa Valley Theater Guild will present Closed for the Holidays today, if you're listening on Thursday, through Sunday in the Grand Theater. And the Phipps Children's Theater will perform Bah Humbug, Scrooge's Christmas Carol, Friday through Sunday in the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson.
Thanks very much. Support for WPR comes from Art Z Gallery in Amory. December features mixed media artists Julie Adams, Judy Paulson, and Han Hoosman. Fiber artist Loretta Peterson is also featured, artzgallery.org. Support also comes from Marquardt Toyota with the all-wheel drive RAV4, an SUV committed to reliability. Marquardt Toyota is located off Highway 53 between Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, or marquardttoyota.com. This is Spectrum West. Six years ago, Ellsworth, Wisconsin native Reed Grimm made headlines on American Idol. Today, TV shows like The Voice have supplanted Idol as fan favorites. And here we are with another Western Wisconsin resident, again capturing the imagination of the nation. And this guy is in the finals. Chris Cruzy, the pride of Barron, Wisconsin, on the journey of a lifetime, a springboard to the major leagues. already a prolific entertainer, he was persuaded to audition earlier this year with a bit of pride and a lot of joy.
You've heard about love and giving sight to the blind. My baby's loving causes the sun to shine. She's my sweet little thing. She's my pride and joy. She's my sweet little baby. I'm her little lover boy.
Yeah, that loud noise you heard was Blake Shelton spinning around his Captain Kirk chair, showing interest in being Chris's coach. Jennifer Hudson twirled too, but Cruzy chose Team Blake. And thus began an odyssey of battles, knockouts, duets, and live shows, in which musical sides of Chris Cruzy have been revealed. Here's a brief medley, and we threw in a holiday short, just for good measure.
Myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. I want to know, have you ever seen the rain? And I want to know, sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
With a good chunk of 2018 spent as a West Coast tenant, methodically moving up the ladder, Tuesday evening on episode 24 of season 15, Chris Cruzy's voyage arrived at a point from which one can see the promised land.
All right, I'm now going to announce one more artist advancing to next week's finale. Here we go. Your third finalist is Cruzy from Team Blake. You made it to the finale.
So Chris isn't coming home just yet. We had the chance to talk on the phone this past weekend. At the time, he was just final eight. He had a Monday performance and a Tuesday reckoning yet to come. Our intent was simply to get to know him better. And by the way, it was about 7:30 a.m. in his time zone. So, I'm impressed that you're up.
Yeah, I'm kind of an early riser. I like to work in the morning. It depends on what I'm doing, but I don't know. I just feel like my brain works better in the morning, so I like to get up and take advantage of that and go to bed early.
You know, that sort of dashes the old premise that musicians are partiers and they sleep till noon.
Yeah, well, I mean, some are, but generally not successful ones. Anymore,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. Tell me, when music became your passion and how a guy from a town as small as Barron, Wisconsin, hones the kind of skills that you've been able to develop. And in your answer, I'd like you to include the guitar playing, because you're a lot more than ain't bad there either.
Oh, well, thank you. I was this young, hyperactive little kid, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old in school, always respectful to teachers and got along great with everybody, just didn't really focus on my work. And, you know, so the questions came up, you know, medication for ADD and stuff like that. And my parents, you know, said absolutely not. So for my 6th birthday, my dad bought me a guitar. My dad played a little bit around the campfire and stuff growing up, some like Willie Nelson songs and whatnot. He never really sang. He could sing, but he never would in front of anybody. So I grew up watching my dad play guitar. I remember being like, you know, 3 or 4 years old, and there was always like guitar sitting in the corner in the basement. We'd always sneak over there and pluck the strings a little bit. You know, we weren't supposed to touch it, but we'd sneak over there whenever we had a chance. And there was always a guitar in the house, so I was always interested in it.
Okay.
But I got one for my 6th birthday, and my dad actually took these little chunks of tape. He'd cut little squares of tape and put little markers on the fretboard where I was supposed to put my fingers for certain chords. And so at 6 years old, he taught me, I think, probably four chords on the guitar. And I just obsessed over it. I'd sit in my room, I'd strum those chords until it became natural for me to move my hands that way. You know, and then I started listening to more music, and I found this old tape drawer of my dad's, some like Hank Sr., Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard and Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, Nazareth, Chuck Berry, you know, a lot of guitar heavy music. Mm-hmm. And so I started listening to that stuff and just trying to figure out what they were doing just by listening to it. And yeah, I don't know. I just kind of, yeah, at 6 years old, I kind of just locked in. Uh-huh. And I was just obsessed with guitar, and it's been my whole life ever since. All my teachers through school could tell you that was the one thing I was focused on. You know, I would just do what I had to do to get by in school and focus my energy on guitar.
Yeah, well, it turned out okay.
Yeah, so I played guitar from the age of six, and then I think I was 13 or 14 the first time I sang in front of anybody. But okay. I'll step back a little bit. So I remember being like, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years old, and we went to a guitar shop, and, you know, because I wanted to get a book, learning some different songs. Mm-hmm. One of the first songs I learned on guitar was called The Yellow Submarine, the Beatles.
Sure.
And it was in this book, and, like, they had the lyrics, and then it had chord charts for how to play the song, and so I was kind of learning how to read that, and my dad was helping me with it, and he said, you know, it might help if you sing along to it, you know, it might help you figure out how the song goes better. So I started doing that in my room, but I wasn't, you know, confident. I was a little kid, self-conscious about singing in front of anybody. And yeah. My dad, I don't know if he even remembers saying it, but he told me when I was really young, like, he's like, well, if you want to, you know, play guitar for a living someday or be in a band, someone's got to be a singer. And he said, and if you can sing, you know, if you can figure out that you can sing, he said, you might as well be the singer too. So
cool.
So I sang a lot. Closed door in my bedroom, singing quietly and mm-hmm. figuring out how to do that. And eighth grade rolled around, and they were having a school talent show. And I'd played guitar in school talent shows previous to that. So I was like, well, what can I do that's different? I mulled it over in my brain a lot, and I decided to sing, but I didn't tell anybody that I was going to. So I didn't tell my mom or my dad. They showed up to the talent show thinking, oh, Chris is going to play guitar again. I got up there, and my mom said she watched me walk up to a microphone, and she said her stomach just dropped. She was so nervous. She never heard me sing. But yeah, and I sang a song called Only God Knows Why by Kid Rock. Really good reception from it. Everybody liked it and encouraged me to keep going. So then that was when I kind of honed in on starting singing, you know?
Okay. How old are you now?
I'm 27.
Yeah. So a little bit removed from eighth grade.
Yeah.
So everything on the guitar is self-taught? Never took a lesson?
I took one guitar lesson from a guy in Cumberland, Wisconsin. I can't even remember his name. Right around that eighth grade, freshman in high school area, I was starting to play lead guitar at that point. Just wanted to see if I could step it up a notch, and I got to the guitar lesson, and me and the guy just started jamming a little bit, and at that point, he basically told me that there wasn't much that he could teach me on guitar, but he taught me some theory. If the band's playing in the key of A, where do you start for a solo, you know? Figure out melodies and stuff like that. So just kind of more of theory-based thing.
Yeah.
Other than that, self-taught.
Possibly, being as close to the Twin Cities as you have been, I mean, Barron isn't too far away. Have you used that resource a lot over the years?
Not much until I went to a private music school for audio engineering. Right after high school, I thought, you know, maybe I could just be a studio player. I was always obsessed with recording. I burned some CDs like way back. I'm sure people still have them. I'm sure they're awful. But I remember trying to figure out how to record. So we had this tape, like a stereo, you know, mm-hmm. and it had two tape decks, and one of them you could record on. The other one would play it, you know, so you could put a tape in and record on the other one. There was a microphone input, but I didn't have a microphone, and it was the same size jack as the headphone. And so I put the headphones, I plugged those into the microphone spot, and then through trial and error, I figured out that the left side of the headphones also functioned as a microphone.
Mm.
I would plug that in, hit record, and play guitar and sing on that. And I haven't heard it in years. I'm sure it doesn't sound good, but it was my only resource. And then later on, we got a computer, and I was like, okay, no, I knew that people could record music on computers, but I didn't have software. You know, it took 20 minutes to load the homepage to Google. It was dial-up. I remember we used to have to get off the internet because mom had to make a phone call.
Wow.
Someone gave me some software. I can't remember what it was called, but it was really basic stuff. And I, once again, there was a microphone input, and I was plugging headphones into it and using the left side for a microphone. That's how I started recording. But anyway, moral of the story, I got obsessed with recording as well. So that's what I ended up going to college for. I thought that was something that I wanted to really dive into and learn. And I use that a lot still, just for recording my own stuff at home.
That's amazing that a 27-year-old can have and will have the rest of his life stories about ways that he had to jerry-rig things. You know, I'm old enough to sound like a pioneer in the recording
business. Yeah.
Because I had to take reels of tape and cut them and tape them. You have some cool stories about how you had to make up things as you went. That's kind of neat. In this day and age, not many young people will have those stories.
We were just fortunate the way that we were raised. My parents just did everything they could to, you know, give us the best childhood ever. And so, I mean, we had a lot of freedoms. We didn't grow up on video games and TV. You know, we grew up walking through the woods and making our own little fishing poles out of dowel rods and fishing line and hooks, whatever we could do, you know.
Uh-huh.
I feel like we had like an upbringing from 20 years prior to when we were born in the best way possible. I think we were fortunate for that.
Isn't that amazing, too, because you can look back and say, well, because I had to do that, I do this.
Exactly. Yep.
I love that stuff. We're on the phone with Chris Cruzy on season 15 of The Voice, heard and seen on NBC. I'm wondering if there are a few sides to Chris Cruzy. The reason I ask that is there are times when the camera catches a guy with a face that looks so young it shouldn't yet be able to grow a beard.
And yeah.
Then there's the family portrait with your wife and your kids. And then, like on the homepage of your website, there's Chris with his hat turned backwards, looking every bit like any hard-ridden biker I've ever seen. So, man, who's the real Chris Cruzy, or all of those?
I'm kind of all of those things, you know. I think I get it from my dad. When we're just sitting there straight-faced, a lot of people think, is something wrong? And I don't know. If I'm sitting there relaxed or thinking really hard or something, I kind of look ornery, but I'm not. One of my favorite things to do is just goof around and play with my kids, you know, make stupid faces at them and make them laugh and just be goofy.
Let's go back to your young family. Tell me about having that perspective and that kind of grounding, because you can sit quietly at night after all the noise subsides and you can ponder your good fortune.
Right. I'm super lucky that I've got an understanding wife who is on board with all of this. When the opportunity came for me to do The Voice, my wife and I had a conversation. Basically, it started out by me saying, you know, I got an email. They're inviting me out to be a contestant on The Voice this year.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, that's exciting. I said, yeah, and it means I'm going to be gone all summer and pretty much all fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, well, if we think it's the right thing to do. And I said, but if you're not on board, then I'm not on board. Because, I mean, I've said this a bunch, and it probably sounds cliche, but it's absolutely true. Music is my career. It's my passion and everything. But if it comes down to making a choice between music and my family wins every time. So, I mean, I don't know. I just think that no matter what, my family's more important than anything I'm doing.
You are already pretty much a household name across America, so that's going to result in some dividends. And yet, let's bring up the concept a Wisconsin icon once said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing.
Vince,
Vince Lombardi, of course, said that.
Yep.
At this point, is it all about winning, or is the road you're on enough?
This whole trip out here, this whole thing has been, this is all a win. It honestly doesn't really feel like a competition. We've been living in a hotel with everybody for, you know, the better part of 6 months. And so we know everybody well. And, you know, if someone's struggling with their song, people step in and help, and other contestants help out and figure out different stuff that they can try to make it better. And it's definitely a competition, but it's not a nasty competition. Everybody's playing to win. But I think, I mean, most of us out here at this point realize that if I go home, it's not the end of the world. There's no bad outcome at this point. So I don't know. I mean, we're pushing, doing everything we can.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
If a guy like Chris Cruzy, and I don't know you, but I feel like I'm getting to know you better as we yak. If you went on stage with the pressure in your head of winning, you wouldn't perform as well.
Yeah, I think it's important just to remember to have fun, you know? I mean, do your homework, learn your stuff, you know, get comfortable with it. So when you get on stage, you can have fun. I mean, that's the most fun part of this whole thing is performing.
Yeah.
So if you're nervous and in your head about it, it's not going to be as fun, and that kind of defeats the whole purpose.
You're a pretty seasoned entertainer. I mean, not in years, but in experience, and yet I am betting that the experience of being on The Voice is adding some new layers.
Yeah, I think the biggest areas that I've grown in is, like, truly entertaining. You know, I've been playing music full-time for pretty much almost 7 years, 200 to 250 shows a year. Most of those shows are me and acoustic guitar. You know, what we're doing out here is very different than that. You know, it's a big part of it is engaging the crowd and showing that you're having fun. You know, just getting more comfortable on stage and just kind of letting loose and doing your thing and letting that come through. And people seem to like it. I've honestly never really been a true entertainer until I came out here.
I like the fact that you don't have a real big ego either. If someone goes to your website, it literally has the shortest bio I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like four sentences. I think what we should do is allow you to say something to your Wisconsin fans. I'm even contemplating, I don't know if I'm going to or not, going up to the Barron Area Community Center. I've been there a couple times, and it was a lot of fun. To those people who have gathered and who have voted, what do you have to say to them?
Said it a bunch, but I mean, just a huge thank you. I'm super grateful to everybody. Yeah, because my part is playing and singing, learning songs, and just performing them to my potential, I guess, on stage and on TV. After that, it's all about people voting and streaming on Apple Music. You know, everybody's done that, and I come from a small community who has now accomplished something huge. There was, 40,000 people tried out for the show this year, this season. Yeah, I mean, just thanks to everybody for everything they've done and sticking it out, staying interested, and yeah, I'm just extremely grateful for that. Win or lose, this has been an incredible trip. I don't know what else to say.
Well, and people in western Wisconsin, or all over Wisconsin, or the Midwest for that matter, will have a chance to see you this summer, because I see you've been booked at Country Jam in Eau Claire. That's cool.
Yeah, that's going to be a blast. I got three nights there, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
I have to say that, Wisconsin Public Radio isn't always the venue on which we talk about things like The Voice, and I don't want people to think that all we do is play classical music, because my program talks with entertainers in all kinds of ilk.
Yep.
I want you to think of WPR as a friend of yours. We have jumped on your bandwagon, and not only because everybody else is on your bandwagon, but I think it's because we've discovered that you're a cool guy, and we like hanging out with cool people. Thanks.
I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for being with us. Good luck. Possibly in the future, as things continue to blossom for you, we can talk again.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
When I was younger, my daddy used to tell me to watch my mouth. But when you're raising Cain, you can't help the way some words come out. I had some four-letter jams that got me into a world of hurt. When I got older, I figured out there's some four-letter words you can't live without. I'm talking about home, where the dirt grows. You meet someone who becomes your whole world.
And if you've Googled the name Chris Cruzy, as I'm sure a lot of people have in Wisconsin and probably all over America, you probably ran across that song. And that song does a nice job of portraying the no-nonsense individual whose name appears on all those yard signs and marquees that wish him well. We do the same. Here's some Spectrum memos for you. Writers Read, an open mic for poets and writers, is at the L.E. Phillips Library in Eau Claire this evening. If you're listening Thursday, it begins at 6 o'clock. Also at the library, the exhibit Southwestward Ho. And remember, the deadline for submitting work for the annual Arts West exhibit is January 14th, ecpubliclibrary.info. Caradori Pottery in Eau Claire is having the annual holiday open house, Friday 5 to 9, Saturday 10 to 5. At the Mabel Tainter in Menominee, they present the annual Holiday Sound of the Memories, Saturday and Sunday, MabelTainter.org. The Northern Lake Center has their Joy to the World concert and sing-along Saturday night as well. Coming up next week, the Grammy-winning music and the man Bill Miller, plus comedian Tim Harmston, and an author in our midst with a new book. Thanks to Rachel one more time, thanks Kate and Dean every time, and thank you all for being in the audience. Hope your holiday season is unwrapping beautifully. For Jim Oliver, I'm Al Ross. See you next week.